Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. I tell you, we had a tremendous week. We've been fighting left and right. We've been showing up and showing out. But I want to hit on the NAACP. The NAACP, as you know it, no longer exists. The question is the NAACP relevant today? Are they doing what they supposed to do? Are they doing what they should do? Well, here in the city of Benton Harbor, Michigan, it reads Whirlpool Corporation buys the NAACP for a mule. The Whirlpool Corporation has decided a takeover of the NAACP Benton Harbor Twin City chapter. It's stunning, shameless, unreal. Marcus Robertson, the president of Consortium for Community Development, a component of Cornerstone Alliance with ties to Whirlpool Corporation, is working on Whirlpool's behalf against the residents of Benton Harbor. Robin is circulating an email that strings of his desire to take total control of the NAACP. And he's doing it. He's doing everything within his power. He went to the state and told the state that Whirlpool Corporation would like to support the NAACP, but they will not support the NAACP under the leadership of Reverend Edward Pinckney. They said they will not support the NAACP under Reverend Edward Pinckney leadership. The PGA, we're talking about. Harbor Shores, we're talking about. Whirlpool, we're talking about. These big millionaires, billionaires will not give a dime to the NAACP unless they get rid of Reverend Pinckney. But Reverend Pinckney has filed suit against them, and he will continue to fight them until the end. So let's listen to a little Malcolm X right fast.
This is why I say it's the ballot or the bullet. It's liberty or it's death. It's freedom for everybody or freedom for nobody. America today finds herself in a unique situation. Historically, revolutions are bloody. Oh, yes, they are. They have never had a bloodless revolution or a nonviolent revolution. That don't happen even in Hollywood. You don't have a revolution in which you love your enemy. And you don't have a revolution in which you are begging the system of exploitation to integrate you into it. Revolutions overturn systems. Revolutions destroy systems. A revolution is bloody. But America is in a unique position. She's the only country in history in a position actually to become involved in a bloodless revolution. The Russian Revolution was bloody. Chinese Revolution was bloody. French Revolution was bloody. Cuban Revolution was bloody. And there was nothing more bloody than the American Revolution. But today, this country can become involved in a revolution that won't take bloodshed. All she's got to do is give the black man in this country everything that's doing. Everything. I hope that the white man can see this. Because if you don't see it, you're finished. If you don't see it, you're going to become involved in some action in which you don't have a chance. We don't care anything about your atomic bomb. It's useless. Because other countries have atomic bombs. When two or three different countries have atomic bombs, nobody can use it. So it means that the white man today is without a weapon. If you want some action, you got to come on down to Earth. And there's more black people on Earth than there are white people on Earth. got a couple more minutes. The white man can never win another war on the ground. His days of war victory, his days of ground victory are over. Can I prove it? Yes. Take all the action that's going on this earth right now that he's involved in. Tell me where he's winning. Nowhere. Why, some race eaters ran him out of Korea.
Yes, they ran him out of Korea.
Race eaters with nothing but gym shoes and a rifle and a bowl of rice. Took him and his tanks and his napalm and all that other action he's supposed to have and ran him across the Yalu. Why? Because the day that he can win on the ground is past. Up in French Indochina, those little peasants, rice growers, took on the might of the French army and ran all the Frenchmen. You remember Dien Bien Phu? No. The same thing happened in Algeria. In Africa, they didn't have anything but a rifle. The French had all these highly mechanized instruments of warfare, but they put some guerrilla action on. And a white man can't fight a guerrilla warfare. Guerrilla action takes heart, takes nerve, and he doesn't have that.
You are listening to the Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. Well, let me bring on my first guest. Is Bill? Is that Bill Lawless? Are you there?
I am Bill Windsor, Lawless
America. Bill Windsor. Hey, how you doing, Bill? How's everything?
It's good. It's nice to hear your voice, Reverend Freddie.
Hey. Now, that's Reverend Edward Pinckney. The email goes out as Freddie, but it's Reverend Edward Pinckney.
Reverend
Freddie is my brother who is deceased. And but I love them, I miss them, but you know they you know sometimes it gets. But let's talk about you and your show. You got about a little less than 10 minutes. Say what you want to say.
Well, great, I appreciate it. I look forward to interviewing you for the movie. And right now we're broadcasting both on your show on Blog Talk Radio and mine, which is on TalkShoe.
All right.
People listening into you, and they've been listening since the start of your show. My story is simply that I'm one of the many victims of government and judicial corruption, and I've been battling this for not nearly as long as you have, Reverend Pinckney, but starting in about 2005, I began to realize that our court system was corrupt. Prior to that, I didn't know. So I thought judges were fair. How silly was I? I believed the government. You know, I believed a lot of things back then that I now realize aren't true. And so I started to document the wrongdoing and the crimes that these various federal judges were committing. Since I was not getting any justice, I figured I would do everything I could to document all of their wrongdoing. And I ended up taking some cases to the Supreme Court. You've been to the Supreme Court before, haven't you?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Well, there's no justice there.
No, absolutely not.
I took 3 petitions for writ of mandamus to the Supreme Court. This was fall of 2010, and I got my decisions in 2011. Now, as you know, with a mandamus, they have to consider it. They can't do like they do with a petition for writ of certiorari, which is an appeal, where they now don't even look at 99% of them. But with mandamus, they have to look at it. They looked at mine, and my question, you know, you have to ask them questions to answer. My question was, will you tell the federal judges that they have to abide by the Constitution?
Oh, that's a good one. I like that. I like that. That's a bullet right there.
How could they not answer that to the positive? And instead, they replied 3 times. Actually, a total of 6, because I petitioned for a hearing. They say, we refuse. Refused, refused, refused. So they refuse to tell the judges that they have to abide by the Constitution, which, of course, none of them do. And that got a lot of Internet publicity. And so as a result, overnight, I got 10,000 emails from 10,000 different people.
Hey, that's beautiful.
And at that point, Reverend Pinckney, I thought I was one of the only people. Little I know. how sheltered a life we lead until we start to open our eyes and ears. And so these people are all wanting to tell me this story. They actually exploded my telephone voicemail system. So
wow.
So many phone calls within such a short period of time that it broke. So the last we counted up to 700 before the thing broke. So as a result, my website, lawlessamerica.com, has become very popular with people who are especially fighting judicial corruption, but also government corruption, law enforcement abuse, and things like that. So what we've tried to do is create a coalition of all the websites, all the bloggers, all the people who are out there battling their own specific flavor of cause, if you will. So we've got family court people, we've got probate, we've got guardianship, we've got just civil rights, we've got domestic abuse. So we've got all these people battling those, and what Lawless America's tried to do is get everybody to realize we all have something in common, and if we build strength in numbers, we have a much better chance of accomplishing something. And so that's what I'm encouraging people to do. Keep fighting your individual battle, but tie in with Lawless America and do just a few of the things we ask that will enable us to build strength in numbers. And the basic plan we have is to try to turn the Internet into our own mainstream media. And because I have written over 900 articles just in the last year and a half, Google treats Lawless America as perhaps the leading authority in the country as far as a website. Mm-hmm. On judicial and government corruption. So whenever a story gets written on my site, Google has it indexed within 12 hours, it seems, and we usually end up in the top 10 search results.
Very good.
So if your viewers or listeners do a search for Judge Jerry, that's with a J, W. Baxter, a year ago, all you would have read about were his rulings. Now, five of the top 10 search results will be me exposing his corruption, and one of the top ones is a video that a friend of Lawless America did that awards him the Horse's Ass of the Year award. The search results, you've got a video window, and you see this video. So we are really popular with the search engines, and as a result, just the amount of traffic and people contacting me has just continued. And last count, I've got a little program I use with my email, it's mm-hmm. 7,000 different people have emailed me.
Wow, that's tremendous, Bill. That is exciting too. But you know what happened this week? I was in the courthouse myself this week, and what I normally do, I give people spiritual advice. I don't give them legal advice because I'm not a lawyer. But I was accused of practicing law on Monday without a license. We have had over 155 cases dismissed, including three murders. And my answer to them that somebody in this courthouse should be practicing law, because nobody over here practicing law, but it appears that you think I am, because I'm over here giving spiritual advice. But I love what you do, Bill. I mean, it's tremendous. But look, you got about 60 seconds to say whatever your heart desires, and say what you will. And hey, listen, I like the way you connect that up from Blog Talk, from your radio show to my radio show. We're going to have to do that again. Listen, say whatever your heart desires.
You will. Well, what I'd like your listeners to know is we're traveling to all 50 states, to every state capital, filming a movie called Lawless America. We're also taking testimony to Congress from people who are victims. So if any of your listeners would like to be included, they can go to lawlessamerica.com and read all about it. But email me, bill@lawlessamerica.com. We are looking for as many victims as we can get, and at last count, we have 777.
Wow.
So we have people from every state, and we would love to include your folks in it, and I very much look forward to meeting you and your wife and conducting an interview with you when we come to beautiful Detroit.
Hey, Benton Arbor. But look, I got Ralph Point on the line, and, you know, his wife is Lynn Stewart. You probably heard a little bit about Lynn Stewart, but he's going to come on after in about 10 minutes. And if you hang on, you'll get a chance to listen to him, and maybe he'll get a chance to ask you a few questions.
All right. Well, okay. I'm going to have to break away to answer questions for my guys right now.
Okay,
but
why
don't you
take care of your business?
I'll come back in about 10 or 15 minutes.
Okay, sounds good.
Thanks.
All right, then. You have a good day, and God bless you, and keep up the good work.
Same to you.
Amen. 561, Reverend Pinckney, you're on the air. Say what your heart desire.
Okay. Thank you, Reverend Pinckney.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. I wanted to talk about, I bought a car in 1997, a Ford Aerostar. Ford Aerostar van. And then after I bought it, it was a recall. So I went to a Jewish attorney.
Mm-hmm.
And the Jewish attorney almost had me out. But somehow the NAACP came
out. The NAACP?
Yes. So then I started, I joined it, and I started giving my money and protesting with them, going, you know, to work in the elections in Florida, Broward County. And so I was living in Boca Raton.
Okay.
So then after my, I went to Roosevelt Waters was his name in the 90s. My van was in 1997.
Okay.
So when I went to him, you know, going back and forth there, what he did to me, he went to Ford. He made a deal for himself because the Jewish attorney told me he would not work with the NAACP.
Mm-hmm.
He told me I had to choose between him and them. And because I had never done business with my own people.
Mm, the NAACP.
Yes. I wanted mm-hmm. to, and I've been hearing about them all my life. So I decided to, you know, try them. Then what the president did, he went to Ford. Now, mind you now, I was almost out of my case, out of that van, and with the Jewish attorney.
Mm-hmm.
And so he went, and he made a deal for himself and came back and told me that I didn't have a case. That's what Roosevelt Waters, the then president in the 90s, of the NAACP did for me. And then after that, the NAACP was behind a building built on 7th Avenue and 19th Street in Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Venice Coles is the name of it. I was living in the tennis club too. I moved from Boca there because I was being harassed so bad doing all that council boat stuff, and I'm a human rights activist.
Mm-hmm.
So I go to, but I'm also very ill. I was protesting about toxic waste, toxic mold, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
So the president of the NAACP, at first he was working with me, and then suddenly the girl that worked, one of the managers, she saw who I was. And they wanted an apartment, you know, because they can only open the first building.
Yes.
And so when she saw who I was, because she needed a apartment for this woman coming from the outside of the U.S., because she was coming here to have a home built for 1 year. And so she needed the apartment for a year. So what they did, they put me out on the streets homeless, disabled, mm-hmm. sick. And then next thing I know, then when 2003, the NAACP had a national convention in Miami.
Okay.
So I decided that I was going to go and put, Broward, the blacks of Broward said,
mm-hmm.
let's put out a press release that we'll go protest the NAACP. I guess they paid them off, and they decided not to go and told me to get the anti-war movement group to go because I was in the anti-war movement at the time. And I told them, why get a people, you get somebody else to do for us what we needed to do for ourselves?
Mm-hmm.
So I just took my protest sign, which read, no aid, NAACP, no aid for the afflicted counting on protection. And I went down there, and I thought maybe somebody would ask me why I was protesting.
Mm.
I went inside the convention center for 2 days. Then the third day they told me, that I could not be on the inside of the building, I had to go outside. So I went outside, and then I saw Al Sharpton coming. He was getting out of the car, so people was running to him, asking for his,
trying to get an interview from him.
Yes, pictures, take pictures, just regular people, you know, wanted to take pictures.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So I'll go at the door.
Mm-hmm.
So where he had to go into the convention center, and you know, he had that flair about him when he get out of the car, like, where's the media? Oh, well, where's the media? So I said, okay, I'm going to stand here and wait for him. So I stood there and I waited until he came to the door. And I asked him, I said, Mr. Shopton, I said, you see my sign, Mr. Shopton? And, you know, he looked at you like he had glasses on, like he's looking over the glasses.
Mm.
And he looked at me like that, and he looked and he shook his head, yes, and he went inside, and he didn't know I was behind him.
Mm-hmm.
I went inside right behind him, and the media was lined, ran over and lined up and would take it. You know, he still don't know to this day unless he see the film of the media.
Mm-hmm.
And I was standing behind him with that sign.
Wow.
And then nobody did nothing. Next thing I know, I'm being chemically sprayed.
Wow.
And that was since 2003. And it's been going on and on. And when I tried to go to they gave me an asthma attack, which ran me to the hospital.
Okay.
General Hospital. This was in 2004. While in the hospital, they injected me with some kind of a toxin. Come to find out, it was the girl who was managing the building called Venice Cove.
Mm.
I was waiting for my doctor to let me go home. It's a very long story. It's a book.
I'm gonna give you a chance, but you know, to talk about it again next week. But you know, go and hit me. Give me a couple of bullet points now, and you got about 2 minutes to say whatever you want. Then we got to move on. But next week I'll give you more time.
I'm out here. A policeman almost took my head off at a Clinton fundraiser.
Mm.
And I'm out here. I've been to 10 different states. Disabled from, for example, gone in jail, never been in jail in my life. I'm 61. And I need help to help myself. I need someone to help me help myself and others. It goes beyond me, far beyond.
Absolutely. Well, you know, you said the right words. You said you need help. We're going to give you all the help we can because we got some people who actually can help you. But I tell you what I want you to do. I want you to hold on and don't hang up. And you get a chance. We'll talk in a minute, okay?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you for this opportunity.
You have it. Hey, it's wonderful. Dr. Moore, are you there? Dr. Moore. Ralph Point, are you there?
Yes, I am, Reverend. And
hey,
I'm
how
listening.
You doing today, Rap? You sound so good today, I don't know what to tell you.
Well, I made sure I was at a phone that had a good connection.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know,
mm-hmm.
we discussed this. But as per the program, this is you have said 10 mouthfuls. And I'm going to try to cover just a few of them. And to begin with your first, you know, first person to be interviewed and talking
Bill Lawless.
The question of the U.S. Constitution. One of the things that we fail to do over and over again, and I say we as a people, oppressed people of color, fail to learn what our state's persons have tried to tell us or taught us if we were to dare to listen. And I say statespersons because many women, we all know of Harriet Tubman, but there were many other women who knew exactly where we were and what the problems were. And there's a woman named Queen Mother Moore, and she says, Ralph, if you talk about law, remember that there is no law that a white government is bound to obey when confronting a person of color. Understand that, and she says, and you understand the whole thing of the law and the Constitution. And now they have obviously extended no law they are bound to obey when confronting a person of no means. That is a poor person, regardless of their color. A middle-class person, regardless of their color. So if we would learn that, we would never be confused at running to the courts and expecting a justice. We can only bring justice to ourselves. And how do we get justice for ourselves? As the young woman spoke on your program just a moment ago, we have to do for ourselves.
Mm.
How do we do that? It is not only unity. I don't want to join with somebody in the Tea Party. I want to join with the unity of purpose. What is your purpose? What is our purpose? And if we have a unity of people who want to bring justice, economic justice, we can do so. It is in our power. if we have that unity. And so it's we have to keep that in mind, unity of purpose. Now, we should learn something from every experience. This young lady said she's dealing with a lawyer, and she identifies the lawyer as a Jewish lawyer and as a black lawyer in the NAACP. Well, that doesn't tell me anything about the lawyer. I want a lawyer who is on my side and acting in my best interest. And it is a unity of purpose, my purpose and his purpose to work with me. The brother sold her out, and the Jewish lawyer, which she should not have used that term, should have been a lawyer who had said, who happened to be Jewish, who happened to say, I don't work with those people. And the question is, well, why don't you work with them? And maybe if she had asked that question, she would not be in a position that she is in. And as you were talking about the NAACP, they're supposed to help us. That doesn't mean they're going to help us.
Mm-hmm.
Al Sharpton said he was going to help us. That doesn't mean he's going to help us. President Obama said a new day, and the first thing he does is comes out and hurts us. So we have to examine who it is we are with, and we are going to join with in a unity of purpose. I'm joining with Reverend Pinckney. Why should I join with Reverend Pinckney? He happens to be a person of color, but he's more important than that, or most important, or the only importance in that is he's working on the issues that we have in common, and he's doing it successfully. He hasn't sold anyone out. This is what we have to look to when we talk about unity of purpose. Lynn Stewart, a white attorney. She identifies herself as a white anti-imperialist freedom fighter. Who did she defend? She defended the freedom fighters of our country, black and white, those who defended our community. And she gave them a great defense. So when I talk about joining someone, I'm going to join with Lynn Stewart and Reverend Pinckney on a unity of purpose. People of different colors, different races, different religion, different religious outlook, but we have a unity of purpose. And when we miss that, then we begin to get in trouble. And as you've opened up with Malcolm X, we've been in deep trouble for a long time. We didn't land on Plymouth Rock. Plymouth Rock landed on us.
Mm.
And if we learn all of these things that all of our great leaders have tried to teach us, then we would be in great shape. But I'm hoping that, you know, your continued work in the courts is educating people about what the courts are and what you're about. And I can't wait to hear Mary Neal when she comes in and speaks to people about how do we have a unity of purpose. We continue by supporting the people who support us. Never mind what their color is, what their purpose is more important. And
absolutely,
once they work on their purpose, that identifies them. And I'm going to switch off office, I like to do every time, to Lynn Stewart. And
yes,
the great person she is. And I tell people, you have all website people here. If they look up Lynne Stewart, Stewart, she's writing from prison. They won't let her speak on the radio. Now, can you imagine a truth teller is not allowed to speak on the radio? What did she say? She says, people with the heel of the boot of oppression on their neck will throw it off by whatever means they deem necessary. And she went on to say, I am not a follower of Martin Luther King. Rather, I'm a follower of Nelson Mandela, who spent 29 years in jail because he refused to renounce the use of violence in the struggle for freedom. And this is where she is. And she said, Hosni Mubarak of Egypt will be thrown out when the people are tired of him. Well, they threw out Hosni Mubarak. He is on trial for his life. And yet they say because Lynn Stewart made those statements, that proves she's a terrorist. So we must analyze every step of the way when we were struggling for freedom. And I say, Reverend, you are doing it. I'm looking forward to seeing you soon. I'm going to be up there treading on the Jack Nicklaus golf course. I'm going to be continually speaking out against anybody buying anything from Whirlpool because that is working. I'm going to continue to speak out against people who are buying anything in KitchenAid. I'm going to continue to speak out about our own economic boycotts, economic sanctions, as this government likes to say, against anything and anyone and any state that offends us. And Florida is the latest. This is outrageous. But read LynnStewart.org because she speaks out on every issue and every occasion. And I think her May Day speech was the most recent. And the other was the young man, Trevor, you know, who was shot in Florida. Those last two speeches, you read them, and there is so much knowledge and information in them that it'll help us move forward. So thanks for your time, Reverend. Look forward to seeing you out there on the golf course and maybe interrupting the events of those days. Keep up the good work, and I'm on your team.
Hey,
and I'm joining you in our unit of purpose.
Absolutely. Hey, Ralph, here's what I want to do. Don't forget, if nothing else, you got to bring your kike. You got to have a kike. I will tell you more about that at a later date, but it is crucial that you bring a kike. And we have to show them that we either have to make them put up or shut up. And also, I put a letter, I got a press release that I put together that I'm going to be sending to every golfer. I'm going to read that letter next week. I'm going to read it right on the air before I send it to each person that participated in the senior PGA. Also, I'm going to spread it all around the country. I did a little homework, got myself in order, and we're going to move on. But look, Ralph, you got 30 seconds to say whatever your heart desires, then I got to go to Mary. Go right ahead.
Well, we have been watching, and as you have said, things are not going to get better. Things are going to continue to get worse. I think several months ago, you had predicted that everything would be up 10%. Well, we've already reached it. We passed that in the price of fuel oil, the price of quality food, et cetera. And we must continue being aware of what's happening. The education system is getting worse. They're stealing more money from our education system, putting it in prisons, laying off teachers, doing the whole nine yards, and yet we have not come up with a unity of purpose in terms of a political party, and we're waiting for you, Reverend, as a candidate from the Green Party. And so who knows where you're going to, who knows where you're going to end up, what you're going to end up running for. You may end up running for the top slot in this country.
That's
and
it.
And so we need that unity of purpose and that understanding of who is on our side and what we're willing to do for it. And remember, boycott anything that the Koch brothers, produce. And they produce Dixie and certain toilet papers. There's a whole list that you can go on to go on the subway. Brawny, Angel Soft, Brawny, all of these products, we have to let them know that we're not going to buy them because what's the first thing he did was he paid for Zimmerman's bail and his defense. So
that's right.
These enemies, in New York, Mayor Giuliani. He was financed by some of the local businesses, Old Navy, et cetera. People kept on buying from Old Navy, even though they were financed by a guy who has determined, he called the ex-black mayor, and he wasn't a black mayor, he was a mayor of color, Dave Dinkins, a janitor, you know, and he says, we don't need a janitor for a mayor. And what is he saying? He created a police riot, and people continued to buy. So we have to begin to discipline ourselves and say, if you're going to work against us, we're going to work against you. And we have, and I'll finish up with the ministry. We had a minister in New York, very popular, Floyd Flake is his name. He's responsible. He had a black community, and He told his community to support Giuliani.
Mm.
And I say it right out front. He covered up a murder case of his secretary who was going to blow the whistle on him. And she, and I know, have personal knowledge of this, private investigator for 35 years, that what is the disappearing, the car that she was killed in suddenly disappeared. That's evidence. The brakes failed. You go to look for at the brakes, oh, that car is nowhere to be found. Evidence disappeared, and the Giuliani government, those who supported Giuliani, did not press the case. I could go on and on and on about those who are supposed to help us who didn't. These are a few examples, but if you look at a person and you say, what color are they, what religion are they, you're dead.
That's it.
The question
All right,
is, what did Ralph, they do?
Hey, thank you so much, Ralph. You are a tremendous individual, and I love you, and I'm looking forward to you being here. Occupy the PGA. But now we got to go on to Mary. And I tell you one thing, Ralph, hang in there. We got a full board today, as usual. We got more people than I think we got time for, but let's do it. Mary, you're there.
I am here, Reverend Pinckney. Hello to you. Hello to everybody. It's a beautiful day in Atlanta. And I have a couple of things. I want everybody to know that Cornell West and Carl Dix are going to be lecturing at the University of Chicago, and they're lecturing on terror in the age of Obama. Police terror, incarceration, no jobs, miseducation, what future for our youth? That'll be Monday, that's tomorrow at 7 p.m. in Mandel Hall. And you know, I think Mr. Obama is from Illinois. So this is going to be the University of Chicago.
Yeah,
also,
I know all about that, Mary. That's a good one. Go right ahead.
Yes. Also, we have a plan for re-education camps in the United States was revealed by InfoWars. They want to re-educate activists and put them in camps and give us psychological torture so that we will appreciate the government. That's a plan. You can look it up online for re-education camps in America. And that's according to InfoWars. They say they got a leaked U.S. Army document. Thirdly, we have Dr. Issa Jahar. That's I-S-S-A-J-A-H-I. From the Delaware State University. He is being prosecuted for resisting oppression. You know, lots of people are like you, Reverend Pinckney. We are being prosecuted for resisting oppression. He was arrested February 29th during a protest on campus. He was accused of encouraging black students to protest at Delaware State University. It's an HBCU college campus. That's a historically black college and university that is steadily decreasing its black faculty and student enrollment. He asked that everybody please call the president's office of that college, and that is at 302-465-6001, and call the Delaware Attorney General, 302-577-8400. This is a professor at college. He was arrested, and he was arrested for resisting oppression along with his students, resisting racism at a historically black college. Also, you know, recently we had Catherine Connor. Catherine Connor was on your show, and she was here because she made a complaint against a judge and a district attorney in her Louisiana parish, and the district attorney told her he was going to arrest her son because he didn't like her attitude. And guess what? They did convict her son of malicious prosecution, just malicious prosecution. They did convict her son, and that was last Monday. And we're asking everyone to pray for Catherine Connor. You can go online and look up Catherine Connor, Louisiana, and read about how they are coming after the whistleblower's children now. He said he prosecuted her 17-year-old son because he did not like her attitude. Her attitude was that although she was a black woman, she was going to stand against oppression. We are not allowed to do that, Reverend. We are not allowed to stand against oppression.
That's
you
right.
You know that you got in trouble with the NAACP. They don't like your attitude of liberty. They do not like you trying to help other people experience freedom and justice for all. Then we have in Ohio a man named King, and I can't, King Zubaida, Z-U-B-A-I-D-A-H. He has an organization called STAND, and it stands for Striving Toward a New Day.
Yes.
And he is also charged with practicing law without a license because he helps people. So that's the new charge they give activists when they try to help people who are tied up in this horrible court system, horrible justice system. They charge our people who try to help with practicing law without a license. So he is also charged with that. So thank you for the sad. Y'all consider these people who are struggling. The thing is, the system is coming against activists. I am very happy that our friend has his phone together today. I think they were attacking him last week, just like they attacked me. Ralph, I think that they had your phone last week. I don't know that they kept anybody from being able to hear you clearly. You know that's how they do me whenever I say something they don't want me to say generally, like when I talk about NDAA, which is the plan. It is an act that has been passed by Congress November 30th, and it was signed by President Obama on December 31st. While other people were enjoying Thanksgiving, this is what Congress did. While other people were enjoying New Year's Eve, this is what the president did. They signed a bill to put people in concentration camps in America. And not just America, they can ship you wherever they want you. They want to send you to re-education camps. I want everybody to look online for re-education camps in China. And this was 1998 that Human Rights Watch warned people that they were planning re-education camps in China, the work camps. So by the time, I guess, they figure the Chinese work you on those work camps, you will learn to appreciate your government. That is what is reportedly the plan. So these are unacceptable plans, and I want to tell everyone right now that I do disagree with those plans. Jesus Christ is against those plans. I love justice, and so does my Lord. And so everybody who is against him and his plan, which is freedom and justice for all, will be damned. Your plans will be damned. We the people are waking up. We're uniting. We know what your plans are, and we seriously and strenuously object. And we have read about your little ideas about there's going to be a race war in America. Forget that. The 99% knows that we are not each other's problem. My black neighbors, my white neighbors, my Asian neighbors, they are not my problem. My problem is that this judicial system and this government system that plans concentration camps for individuals who claim liberty and justice for all, that is my problem. My problem is that you secretly arrested and murdered my handicapped brother and refused to give me a single sheet of paper about it, refused to tell me how it happened, why it happened. That is my problem. My problem is that you are taking people like Reverend Pinckney, who was doing nothing but good. You took someone like Lynn Stewart, who was zealously defending her clients. You are prosecuting and persecuting people all over this country for having a philosophy of liberty. That is our problem. Our problem is not each other, and you are not going to pick out one death like Trayvon Martin and tell us that it's time for us to have a race war with each other. No, we're not going to fight each other for you, for your entertainment. We are going to stand together against oppression. All races, all people. Thank you.
Hey, very, very good. Mary, I tell you, you know, you hit it right on the nail right on the head you mentioned, because I tell you, they falsely accused me of practicing the law without a license. They said, and my answer to them, somebody over here should be practicing law. I said, because the folks in this courthouse definitely is not practicing law, because they don't have to. But I tell you, we are in a midst of a true battle, but I got to bring on Roz right now, and I'll give you a few minutes to clean that up a little bit. So just hang with me, okay? Roz, are you there?
Hey, yes, I'm here.
How you doing, Roz? How's everything?
I'm doing great. I had the medical test, so if everybody keeps praying, I don't have the answers yet. I'm a little behind, sorry. It was wonderful with William Windsor on today.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely.
Right, and I sent out an email about you coming to L.A. today,
mm-hmm.
and what a gift you are, and God has just appointed you for this time. I asked everybody to pray for you, and I'm going to keep at it that we all stand up for you. We all join you to save our schools.
Absolutely, because I will definitely be in Los Angeles. I got to go there. I got to make sure I go when I come, that they have a school board meeting planned that week. Also, I got to deal with the union guy, Warren Fletcher, and I got to make sure that I connect with the teachers while I'm there, because it's time that they put up or shut up. It's time that they start changing the way they fight this battle, because they're taking a beating. Believe me, they are.
Oh, yes. And on Tuesday, first of all, about the board meeting, it's too early. We can't find out for August. We've all looked into it for you.
Okay.
And on Tuesday, they're voting. They want to give the kids physics. They've lowered the requirements for the number of units they need. They're making D's passing. They want them to take college courses like physics.
Wow.
Right.
Wow, they look like they're pulling out all the strings, huh?
Right, so they can fail. I have a master's degree. I've been to 8 different universities wherever we were stationed across America.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I can pass physics.
Wow.
I mean, this is ridiculous. Either they pay for these expensive tests to have kids learn just the tests, or now they're going to give them these hard college classes so that not everybody can pass them. We have such a high dropout rate. They don't graduate. This is disgusting for all of us.
I tell you, this is really, really something, Roz. But you know one thing? Well, we've been praying for you, Roz, and I believe that you are going to win your case. I mean, I'm just listening to what the Lord is saying, and I believe it's been a long time, but I feel that the next step, they're going to be bowing down to you. Matter of fact, when I get there, I'm going to try to rally those teachers to come out and support you, because that's the only way that you're going to win there in the city of Los Angeles, is by people coming out and supporting each other. And until we start doing that, we're going to continue to be defeated by these folks. And
right.
If, remember this, it's more of us than them. How do we convince people?
They've got teachers in rubber rooms that they're driving crazy.
Mm.
And if they don't like you, then they pick on something and they make up these stories. Let me go back to my judge for a minute.
Go right ahead.
And, you know, LAUSD, for Dr. Stahlberg, they paid him close to $17,000 for his report. That's $700 a page.
Mm.
A school district that has no money. Well, Judge Cohen, Gerald Cohen from the Van Nuys Workers' Comp Court, sent 1,000 pages to Dr. Stahlberg. There was 6 copies of my testimony. My testimony did not make it to the appeals board when I first won. So they sent it back to Judge Cohen to make it right and look at the rheumatologist's medical report. He didn't do that. But in the 1,000 pages, there was 6 copies of it. There was the 2 copies of the psychiatric disorder that he sent over to Dr. Stahlberg to use from the Sullivan papers. There was some medical reports. There was not Dr. Silverman's report. How much do you think this costs? We're not stupid.
Yeah.
What kind of a deal was made in my case? They must have spent over $1 million in 12 years paying all these people. And as you told me, you need a paper trail. I've been to Judge Cohen's boss, Linda Morgan. I've been to Judge Kahn, her boss. I've been to the Ethics Advisory Committee, and they said it wasn't unethical. Well, let me tell you, as an American citizen, as an American war hero, a military wife, a person that obeys the laws, this is unethical for a judge to change the facts, make his own medical diagnosis, for doctors to lie and change the facts.
Wow. And it's about as unethical as you can get it, I tell you that much. But
right.
Listen, Roz, I tell you what, we're going to continue to fight with you. I mean, fight with them and fight for you. And what we're going to do, I'm going to make sure when I get out to California that we make sure that we get together and pull these teachers together to support each other, because their turn is coming next. And like I told a lot of those teachers that was ripped, that they need to stand up with not only with each other, but for each other. You see, that's the thing. You know, a lot of times we don't stand together, and that's how they pick us off.
Right. They fight about some little thing. Right. We all have to stand together. We're bigger than the school district.
That's right.
All these people should go to jail because there are laws that they don't enforce.
Well, when we take over the country, we'll send them to jail just for you. Listen, you got about 30 seconds to say whatever you want, then I got to bring on Libby. Go right ahead.
Okay, my appeal should be back June 22nd. And what we're praying for, there's four arguments. My lawyer, Clint Fetterson, wrote a fantastic appeal. We're praying that argument number one wins, especially that one, because it will change the law. But we're praying for all of them.
Very good. I want
to thank you, because God is going to use you. He's going to take you across the country. This is the biggest blessing in my life. I met Mary, I met Ralph, and I'm praying for Lynn every day. I want him to know that. And for you, Reverend Pinkney, I'm praying, and God, you are just the kindest, nicest man. Thank you.
Oh, you're making me blush. You know I'm weak. But listen, I got to let you go, but you hang on and maybe get the last word in. Libby, are you there? I got a full board, Libby, and I do apologize for taking so long. But we the whole board is lit. I've never had this many callers before. It's just been tremendous. And I tell you, but let's get to your point. Go right ahead.
Okay, I'm looking at bhbanco.org. That's Benton Harbor, BH, and then BANCO.org. hopefully you'll be attending the May 23rd to 27 Occupy the PGA in Benton Harbor, Michigan. If you'd like to make a sign to hold, here are some ideas to use as you wish when you make your sign. The emergency manager law in Michigan is a whole nother story, but anyways, emergency manager Joe Harris came to Benton Harbor, fired the mayor and the city council, with no accountability to the people of Benton Harbor. Whirlpool Corporation has been meddling in city politics for over 30 years for every tax break and advantage it can get as the neighborhoods crumble. With global sales of $18 billion, Whirlpool paid 0% in federal taxes in the year 2010. It received a refund that year of $64 million. We assume, by the way, that it's similar in 2011. We just don't have that information yet. Whirlpool took $19 billion in federal stimulus funds, and then it closed its plants in the United States, including Benton Harbor. Not all of them, I don't think, but maybe most of them.
Mm-hmm.
Representative Fred Upton received substantial campaign contributions from Whirlpool and the Koch brothers. State Rep Al Pacholka introduced PA4, the expanded emergency manager law. He was the vice president of Cornerstone Alliance. Whirlpool and Cornerstone Alliance are partners in the Harbor Shores development in Benton Harbor. Harbor Shores has already taken one side of the river. Now it wants the other side, which is the city of Benton Harbor. Harbor Shores can now buy the land at fire sale prices from emergency manager Joe Harris. And the people of Benton Harbor have no voice and no choice. Berrien County Courthouse, arguably with the state's highest juvenile and innocent conviction rates, has almost all of the people going through there are from Benton Harbor. The cost of membership to the country club, $5,000 a year. The average income in Benton Harbor, less than $10,000 per year. Governor Rick Snyder signed the emergency manager law. This is Michigan Governor Rick Snyder, and there's a brand new recall effort that started yesterday to recall Snyder. He signed the emergency manager law and a budget that taxes pensions and cuts education funding in Michigan. Then he gave corporations like Whirlpool a $1.8 billion tax break. Our government no longer represents us. Politicians represent their corporate donors. Recall, repeal, recover our democracy or what we had of it. Boycott Whirlpool and KitchenAid.
Hey, that's beautiful. I don't think it can get any better than that. It's crucial.
Now, Reverend Pinckney, should I quickly say the details of Occupy the PGA from
go,
the bottom?
Go right ahead. Go right ahead.
Okay. The death march will happen Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and this is May 23, 24, and 25, at roughly 10:30 at Benton Harbor City Hall. On Saturday and Sunday, the 26th and 27th of May, slightly different kind of a thing going on. This will be a day for kites. The demonstration is in protest of the land stolen by Whirlpool Corporation to make this huge resort with the Jack Nicklaus signature golf course on Lake Michigan. Used to be the most beautiful strip of land with all kinds of endangered species and beach and trees and just unbelievably gorgeous. Pretty much gone now. That's it.
Absolutely. And I tell you that Occupy the PGA, it is so, so important that people show up. They should come because it's coming to your town next. Benton Harbor is the only city here in the United States that actually has a very own dictator. They have their very own dictator, and we're going to run him out of town. That's exactly what we're going to do, and we're going to take it from there. But listen, I'm going to bring Ralph back on, then I'm going to let Mary have the last word, and then we can take it from there because I tell you, I have really enjoyed myself today, and it's been a tremendous show just listening to everybody. I will apologize for not getting to everybody, but normally if you call me first, I know that you're going to call it, and I can put you in an order to make sure that you get on. But on that note, Ralph, you got about 30 seconds to say whatever your heart desires.
Yes, I just wanted to follow up on the unity of purpose. We have all joined organizations that are supposed to help us in unions or other organizations that were supposed to help us, and the unions have become corporate unions, out of control, with union heads making large money and not defending the membership. NACP is another example of an organization that we have worked for that has not worked for us. And we must remember that rule. Do justice and work for those who work for you. And you, when it becomes us, then we have an automatic unity of purpose. If the unions don't serve you, dump the leadership. And it is very late in the game, and the teachers have just found out that the teachers' unions do not support them. But those of us who were there in the beginning to support the unions back in 1963 and 64 predicted it and fought against the unions 2 years after they were formed. They are Frankenstein monsters that must be destroyed. Every corrupt union that is a guild, not a union. We must form unions, and unions have a purpose. Thanks again, Reverend. Look forward to seeing you soon.
Hey, listen, it's my pleasure. I tell you, it's an honor. You tell Lynn, I say, hey, let her know that I love her, and let's say we're going to continue to fight to bring her home. Do you know when she's going to be hearing about her appeal?
Well, we don't know. The appeal was February 28th, and we're waiting every day. We're hoping for a positive result, and then she can come home and fight her case in the Supreme Court.
Absolutely. Hey, I'm going to love to be fighting side by side with you and her. It's going to be an honor and a pleasure, I tell you that much. But listen, I got to bring on Mary. You got about 30 seconds to say whatever your heart desires and make it fast so I can bring Roz on to clean it up. Let's go.
All right. Well, thank you, Reverend. I just want to say to the audience, you know, I know of no place else where you can come and hear from these types of people. people who are sincere and dedicated. Reverend Pinckney is such a person, and he makes this possible for us every Sunday. And he travels. He goes and makes speeches, and he talks to people. And he not only just talks, but he organizes marches. He organizes campaigns so that we can take back America, so that people who have never really lived the American dream, like black people, can begin to step in place to what our destiny should be, and that is liberty and justice for all. Now, it's time for you to call. It's time for you to please go and look at Blog Talk and get the link and see that your friends hear from people like Esteban Garcia, who's going to be joining me in Atlanta on the 20th of May. That's Esteban Garcia, Bill Windsor, is going to join me in Atlanta on the 20th of May. And when you don't get to talk on the show, just go to my articles, Mary Neal, at Free Speak Blog, and put a comment there. And then, you know, we can pass that information on to Reverend Pinckney. Now, you need to do more than just call. You need to do more than just trade the links. We need you to please participate financially in freedom. Participate financially in freedom. You need to participate financially. Please go to BHBanco, B-A-N-C-O. That's online, BHBanco, and get the address. And please, Reverend Pinckney needs donations to make this happen. The more you give, the quicker we can get free. Let's get free, y'all. Let's get free.
Amen. Listen, Roz, you got about 30 seconds, and that'll do it. Go right ahead.
Okay, I want to remind everybody that I'm praying for everybody in the audience out there, but that God is in charge of what we're going through. And I ask that they walk in God's peace and love with everyone, and that we stand up together in unity, and God is going to bring us the victory. As we praise him, he's going to bring us the victory, that he is in charge. And it is so exciting. And please send in your praise reports, because wonderful things I know are happening out there. So we thank everybody out there in the audience. We know that God's miracles and blessings are going to happen. And the bigger our battle, the bigger our blessing.
Amen.
I don't want anybody to give up out there. I want you to know that God is in charge.
That's it. You said it all. And listen, on that note, those who did not get in, please, just call me. You can call me at 269-925-0001. And if you call me and let me know that you're trying to get in, I can make time for you. That's 269-925-0001. And don't forget, Occupy the PGA, May 23rd through the 27th. The big day is May 26th. And don't forget to boycott all Whirlpool products, KitchenAid, the whole work. And I have just ran out of time, and I want to thank everybody for being on the show. I love you all, and good night to all. Take care, and God bless you all.
God bless.
Good night.
Take care
my
now.
My family.
All right, Dan.
Thank you, audience. Thank you for tuning in.
That's
thank
it.
You. God bless everyone.